The following is a CSPN Media podcast presentation.
CSPN and the WrestleCast present to you
Cast of Strong Style
with your hosts, JPK Moto and Don DeLorente.
Hello and welcome to Cast of Strong Style. I'm your host, Don DeLorente, and I'm joined by my co-host, Anwar Starwin. What's going on, Anwar?
Nothing much.
Glad you could join me today. We're going to talk some G1 special in the first three nights of the G1 climax. So I hope you're ready to review some of these great matches that we got to see and a great angle at the end of the G1.
For sure.
All right. So just to let you know, first out the gate, Cast of Strong Style is being brought to you by the CSPN. You can find us on the net at cspn.us. So the Cow Palace show happened, the G1 special in San Francisco. New Japan coming back to run their standalone show here in the United States. And we got started off with a 10-man tag. We had Yoshihashi, Gedo, Rocky Romero, Sho, and Yo, Chaos, versus Haku, Tamatanga, Tangaloa, Yujiro Takahashi, and Chase Owens, a.k.a. The Bullet Club. King Haku, he gets in, and he gets a Tonga death grip on Gedo. Then Tonga hits Gedo with the gun stun, and the Bullet Club gets the win. So it was really cool to see Haku out here with his kids, messing people up, goozling guys. Really nice way to start the show.
Yeah, it was. I have no complaints about the opening of the match, and it just set up the evening pretty perfectly.
Right. Our next match, we had Torohiro Ishii, easy for me to say, and Yanu versus Suzuki and Zack Sabre Jr. Zack Sabre Jr. blocks a low blow and applies the European clutch, and Yanu kicks at it too. Zack Sabre Jr. blocks a low blow, but Ishii gets it the second time and hits the lariat, and Ishii and Yanu get the win.
Yeah, that was a bit of a surprising victory considering their previous match. I didn't expect them to like win in that manner, because I believe it was Yano that like set up everything, if I'm correct.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he sure did.
So that was a surprise, but it was another good match. You got the interaction between Ishii and Suzuki, and you had Suzuki beating up like Young Lions. So they gave you that nice authentic New Japan Suzuki gun behavior.
Right. The Ace, Tanahashi, and Kushida faced off against Hangman Page and Marty Scurll. Hangman Page hits the buckshot lariat on Kushida. Kushida then hits the Pele kick and attacks Page's arm. Page counters back and hits the rites of passage, and Hangman Page and Marty Scurll get the win.
It was a good match momentum-wise for Hangman going into the tournament, so you kind of didn't need that victory. Just were more like high energy going ahead, but it was good for Marty too, also because he's a champion with the 6-man tag. So good stuff, and my man Kushida ate the fall, but it is what it is.
Right. It was just a cool visual to see Tanahashi and Kushida tag team together.
Yeah, it was. Because, the dominance of their particular divisions, especially.
Right. Next, we had Goto versus Jeff Cobb for the never open weight title. Jeff Cobb fires up, but Goto hits a lariat, a headbutt, and the Ishiguroshi for a 2-count. Jeff Cobb counters the GTR, but Goto hits version 1, and he hits version 2, and Goto gets the win and retains the never open weight title. I thought this was a really good match. Jeff Cobb is a good big guy and really, brought it to Goto. I thought this match was really good.
Yeah, Cobb was a really good challenger, especially for that crowd, because they were really hot for him. Like, he was locally from that area. I was like, whoa, these people are really into Cobb. But, I thought it was also cool that that Goto was like, oh, this is how y'all feel? I'm going to just adjust the situation and play heel. And Goto was playing great as a heel. I wish more wrestlers were like, when they see it, they're obviously not the fan favorite, adjust the situation.
Mm-hmm.
For that night. I see Tanahashi do this. I've seen Okada do it. So I definitely like that about New Japan. Like, the experienced people, like, if a crowd is not feeling them, they will adjust and be the heel that night.
Right.
So
we had the Young Bucks in a rematch against Evil and Sonata for the IWGP Tag Team titles. Matt Jackson counters Everything is Evil, and he hits a super kick. Then we get super kicks on Sonata as he tries to fly in. Then the Meltzer driver finishes off Evil, and the Young Bucks retain the IWGP Tag Team titles. This was a fun match. Maybe not as good as the original title switch match, but, you know, definitely gave the crowd in California, you know, what they came to see.
Definitely, because it was, you heard the chance once it was time for that match. They came to see the Young Bucks do their thing. And the only thing about, like, Evil and Sonata is just sad that, like Evil got hurt early in their title because they probably could have had at least two more defenses. It feels like, yes, they're singles wrestlers, but they're really entertaining as a tag team, and this is just another example of it. So, props to Evil Sonata helping make the tag division heavyweight level more entertaining. And maybe someday again we'll see them tag, but yeah, it was another entertaining tag match. Not as good as the Dominion match, but it was more like more athletic, if you can say, more like athleticism in that match, this match, than the previous match. Whereas the other one had a mixture of athleticism and scientificness, psychology with their match.
Right.
Match.
Yeah, much more storytelling in the original championship match.
Yeah, that was a really dope match.
It was. This one had more of like an indie, you know, just the pace was up and they were, you know, hitting each other with really big moves. That's kind of what this match felt like.
That's exactly what it was.
Right. So we had Okada and Will Ospreay versus Naito and Bushi. Bushi looks for the MX, but Ospreay cuts him off with a kick. Okada drop kicks Naito and they brawl back to the floor. Ospreay fires up and he hits the Robinson Special and then the Stormbreaker on Bushi, and Will Ospreay and Okada are victorious.
It was fitting that it was Ospreay that got the victory and they got the win, because Okada hasn't been doing that great. Getting victories of late.
Right.
But, yeah, they make a really good tag team. Naito and Bushi, they don't disappoint, so it was just a really good tag match and nice tease of future heavyweight potential matches.
Right, right. Chaos and LIJ rarely disappoint in any type of combination.
Yep, they don't.
We have Hiromu Takahashi, the ticking time bomb. Shout out to JPK Moto versus Dragon Lee for the IWGP Junior Heavyweight title match. Dragon Lee hits the Descodora and he gets a near fall. Takahashi counters back with a destroyer for another near fall. Then Takahashi hits the time bomb and Hiromu Takahashi defends the IWGP Junior Heavyweight title with possibly a broken freaking neck as he took a bad landing on a Phoenix plex, and it wasn't good when it happened. I was like, oh my God, how didn't he break his neck? Because he continued to wrestle like for another like 30, 45 seconds. And then the next day, all the reports started coming out that yes, he was injured. The severity is still really not known. Some people are saying it's a broken neck. Other people are saying, nah, he just jacked up his neck. But either way, man, Takahashi got hurt and that sucked.
It was an awesome match. Not one of their best matches, but still one of the best matches on that card.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the particular spots you're talking about, I noticed it. But the one that made me uncomfortable was the thing that they did in the corner where I think he was coming, Dragon Lee was coming down on Hiromu as he was on. It was near the beginning of the match. That disturbed the hell out of me. So it's only fitting that this happened in this match because those two go so hard. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can get hurt any type of way wrestling. So I'm not going to be that guy, but it's just sometimes stuff happens, man. But maybe wrestlers shouldn't have to wrestle four times one day like I heard Dragon Lee just did. That's not probably the best strategy going forward. Try to, like, split that up. But, I mean, Roman's a great wrestler. I wish him well, and I hope he gets healthy. I haven't revisited that match because it's kind of depressing because I for me, Roman was in the running for wrestler of the year. Now he's just on the shelf, messed up, and sucks.
Yeah, man. Yeah, it really does suck. So, like you said, good luck to Hiromu Takahashi. Hope he gets well and hope he can get back into the ring and continue to give us, you know, these great matches that he's been putting on in 2018. Next, we move on to Jay White versus Juice Robinson for the IWGP United States title. Jay White attacks the broken left hand and he hits a sleeper suplex. Jay White dumps Juice on his head with another suplex. The Blade Runner gets countered, and Juice gets the cradle, and Juice Robinson becomes the new IWGP United States Champion.
That match shocked me, because this is one of the things where you do stuff fantasy booking for a tournament, and it backfires on you. I was like, Juice ain't gonna win this title. Juice is destined to beat Goto and challenge him for the NEVER Championship. That's his destiny. Nope. They pull the fast one on you. They think make you think things are going to go one way, and then it doesn't. But it actually works for Juice's character. And him being the first, like, American champion as U.S. champion gives it even more power. So, that match was awesome. Juice, it was great to see Juice finally win, and Switchblade is a hell of a heel. He's a hell of a heel. And, I mean, we saw what happened with JR and Barnett
right
at the time. But I thought that was just, a work.
A spot? You thought it was a spot?
I thought it was a work. Come find out, no, it was not a work. Thank God Jay got away, because if he would have not gotten away.
Yeah, Josh Barnett would have done a physical harm to him for real.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, literally, Josh Barnett went. Okay, so let me set it up. All night, guys have been, you know, New Japan, if you guys watch the product, you know, the railing, guys getting ran into the railing is a big deal. Well, unfortunately, here at this show, they had the old school gray slatted railings. And they weren't connected. So every time people were getting thrown into them, you know, they were moving like 3, 4, 5 feet into the crowd. And so they kind of done an outside spot before. And then they went back outside again. And they got right up next against where the announce table was for JR and Josh Barnett. And Jay White suplexed Juice Robinson into the guardrail. And of course, that guardrail moved 4 feet and it hit the table into JR, which broke like a couple of ribs and knocked him out of his chair. And then that got Josh Barnett hot. And he literally said on live access TV, "Oh, they done fucked up now," and got out of his seat and was chasing Jay White around the ring. And Jay White was running in the ring, get out of the ring, come back in the ring, get out of the ring. And Josh Barnett finally kind of gave up the chase, but yeah, it got real, real for a second there.
It was like, it made me think of a coyote and the Roadrunner when I was a child. That's basically what that was.
Juice Robinson, kind of predicted what was going to happen in that great promo he cut on the night where Switchboy broke his hand. And he said that, you know, he likes to win his matches by hitting the big left hand and Pulp Friction, but, you know, he can roll a motherfucker up. He's rolled up Kenny Omega. And, you know, Jay White, you ain't above getting rolled up. And that's exactly what happened. So, congratulations to Juice Robinson, your new IWGP U.S. champion.
And with that victory, that leaves Goto as the only champion in Chaos at the moment.
Right. And then we move to our main event of the evening.
Main event.
Kenny Omega versus Cody for the IWGP heavyweight title. Cody counters a V-trigger and they trade strikes. Then we get two V-triggers that land by Omega. We get a double underhook pile driver and that gets a two count. We get a V-trigger and then the one-wing angel connects and Kenny Omega retains the IWGP heavyweight title. This was a good match. The only thing that I felt about this whole show, especially this match, was that it didn't have that great build-up like New Japan matches usually have, where you get that like 7-minute build-up to the finish, where you get, you know, the close near falls and the spectacular this and spectacular that, and you kind of feel them turn up, and it's like, oh man, we're getting ready to come to something, the big climax. It just kind of felt like all these finishes in all the matches to me just kind of just came out of the blue. Like, they were going, and then, bam, somebody got pinned. Like, oh, it's over? Okay.
I kind of think that's good for going into G1, because in G1, you never know. Like, sometimes people just get hit with something and lose. That's just how it is. It's not elongated back and forth. Sometimes you just get hit with something, or you choked out with something, or you submit it. It's just, so it's kind of good, because every type of big match can't necessarily have that, the type of like format. So I'm cool with them switching it up and doing different things.
Okay. All right. So after the match, Kenny Omega helps Cody to his feet. Cody leaves as Omega talks about successfully defending the title, and he's proud to be the champion to do it here in the Cow Palace. Then, as you know, they're all doing their big lap, and they go back up the ramp, we get Tama Tonga, Haku, and Tongaloa come out to celebrate. So we have the whole Bullet Club out here on the stage. Everybody's throwing up the 2-sweet, or in the Young Bucks case, the 1-sweet. And then all of a sudden, Tama Tonga attacks Omega. They beat him and beat him all the way down back to the ring. Basically, Tongaloa and Haku join in, and they are just whooping on Kenny Omega. They beat him up really bad, and then all of a sudden, they take off their Bullet Club shirts to reveal their own shirts, the Bullet Club Firing Squad.
Yup.
So,
I mean, for me, I've been waiting for them to flip the switch on that, them guys, for like about a year. I've been waiting. So it wasn't that surprising. It's just, when was they going to do it? And it felt like that was the right time to do it. So, I was like, why would you turn your back on Tama Tonga after what he tried to do to you at G1 the previous year? Like, why would you turn your back? This dude did not come out when you won the championship. All of this stuff I remember, bro. So, and then I thought about the fact that the Bucks took the 6-man tag title from them.
Mm-hmm.
Him and Five and his brother. And also are hogging up the heavyweight tag division belts too. So I was like, y'all ain't see this coming? I saw it coming.
It was damn good, man. I mean, Haku was in there jacking folks up. Tama Tonga was looking strong. Tongaloa out there, you know, roughhousing, powering people around. Cody actually came down and tried to make the save, and he got washed too. That actually led to a really cool moment where, you know, the Bullet Club is like licking their wounds, and Cody and Omega have to kind of like help each other up, and they're kind of doing the Jordan and Pippen, like helping each other back up the ramp. So that part of the Bullet Club looks like they've kind of fused things back together, but the Tonga Coalition has gone out on their own.
They're out on their own. Even Honorary Tonga got that L.
Yeah, so I thought this was a really good show. Like I said, I just kind of felt a little off to me just because I was looking for those kind of build-ups and then those good finishes. But, you know, all in all, it was a really entertaining show. I really enjoyed it. And then that finishing angle just really set forth, you know, what's going to come here in G1, leading for the rest of the year, basically.
The fact that they got back together so fast just makes people wonder, is this the final run for some of these dudes?
Right. Right,
because most friendships, when they have a falling out, they don't just make up that fast. Sometimes it takes a couple of weeks or months.
Right.
The fact of how, the speed of how fast they have it make you like, okay, which one of y'all about to roll?
And what Anwar is alluding to is that the WWE has been sniffing around the chicken coop of Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks, and possibly Cody as well. It maybe not, it hasn't been out as far as in the, you know, news reports, but the Young Bucks and Omega for sure have, you know, they're on the WWE's radar, and I'm sure there's been contact ever since that All In, you know, happened. WWE definitely has had the Young Bucks for sure back on their radar.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see.
We even more on their radar with ROH and New Japan doing that show during the WrestleMania weekend in New York. So.
Yeah, that's a big deal, really big deal. WWE tried to pull a power play. It worked for a couple of weeks, and somehow, I don't know, I heard Sinclair was threatening to sue, and they got their...
They got money, too. People sleep on Sinclair. Sinclair got a lot of money, yeah, and they got local. Oh!
Yeah.
They can play that game if you want.
Right. And usually the WWE plays that game with other people, but they ran up against somebody that's got a little bit more money than them this time, and they were like, okay, y'all can do what y'all need to do.
Yep.
Yeah.
Only thing they can do is just put the best possible show on as possible and whatever.
Let me ask you this question, because right now, I think if you were to ask a lot of people, survey a lot of people, they're really becoming disenchanted with the WWE main roster product, and whatever factors you want to contribute that to, okay. I feel like the situation is ripening for somebody to come in and be the competition. And with ROH finally bursting through and getting the MSG venue, where they're going to be, that just that venue is going to elevate their platform to a level they've never been. Could this be the springboard for ROH becoming the true alternative to WWE?
I don't think you should even focus on competing directly with WWE,
because right.
when you're going to fall into their traps.
Right, that's why I said alternative, not compete with them, just be an alternative, something different.
As an alternative, they can do it, but they need to develop more of the homegrown guys, and they need to not develop their entire show around the Bullet Club. They have to focus on young talent and develop them, and not be everything about the Bullet Club. The Bullet Club is great and whatnot, but you shouldn't have your entire federation designed around one faction. Right. It's not good and not healthy in the long run, especially if those guys are like, you know what, we don't need these people anymore. Let's go and do our own thing or go sign with WWE in a way where we can move back and forth through the indies. So.
Mm-hmm. All right. So, I mean, I've just been thinking.
Because let's be real. A New Day versus a lead match. We'll probably make them a lot of money.
Yeah, WrestleMania.
That will probably make them a lot of money. Not even Kenny as a solo, just those six wrestlers in a match. That will make them a lot of money. So, we'll see.
I mean, you see how much traffic those video game interactions have gotten when, you know, Xavier plays Omega, or, you know, they all show up in the same place and, you know, Xavier films everything and puts it up on his YouTube channel, and I mean, it gets traffic. So yeah, the wrestling community is just salivating for them to be able to do that match in some type of shape, form, or fashion.
Yeah, but only thing I could advise people is don't expect to see the same person that you're rooting for in Independence and WWE, because things tend to change when they get there, understandably, because of the length of their touring schedule. And they just can't do those same matches and be effective in WWE. People need to understand that. So it's like.
Right. It was kind of like back in the day when WWE would bring guys from ECW. And if you were an ECW fan, you kind of got used to a certain way that those guys went hard. And then when they got to WWE, you were like, oh, this is a powder puff version.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's how some people feel about AJ right now.
Yeah, I just think the booking hasn't been great with the you know, changing switching Nakamura heel and trying to get that over, and and just all that. I don't think the booking has done him any favors, but maybe if we get this, if they focus on this Samoa Joe and it's a one-on-one match and they build it right, you know, maybe he can, you know, kind of change the narrative a little bit.
Yeah, they got Joe, they got Dragon, but they're not doing nothing with it. So it's just like, you got the talent, but you're not pulling triggers. Like, love AJ. I'm happy that he's been champion, but this championship run ain't that been that impressive to me.
Right.
It's like he's been champion for a long time, and that's dope, but it's like, okay, this has not been an impressive title to me, but whatever. Let's go on to something else.
We're going to move into the G1 Climax, Night 1, the A-Block. We start off with Togi Makabe versus Yoshihashi and his wig. We get a lariat by Makabe, the spider German suplex follows, and the King Kong knee drop finishes Yoshihashi, and Togi Makabe gets the first 2 points of this year's G1 Climax.
Yoshihashi almost had me believing that he was going to win that match for a second, and that's the quality of New Japan, because on paper, you look at that, and you be like, Makabe ain't going to lose to this dude. But then you see the match, and it's like, okay, Makabe, you came to work. Okay, Yoshihashi, that's how you start the G1, buddy.
Yeah, that was a good opener for to get the tournament started off on a good note. Next up, we have the new and improved Slim and Trim Bad Luck Fale versus Hangman Page. So this was kind of the first fallout match after the big G1 special angle where we had a Tongan versus the honorary Tongan. And some very interesting comments by Bad Luck Fale after the match in his press conference. But Fale fights off the rites of passage. And then Tama Tonga runs in and chop blocks the knee. They all beat down Hangman Page. And Bad Luck Fale gets DQ'd. That leads to Omega Ibushi and Chase Owens making the save.
Yeah, man, that was like, you know, those two used to be in the tag team champions as the Never Six Man champions. So it's like, damn, you going at your ex tag partner like that? But yeah, I mean, that the fact that we got a DQ in the second match of the tournament, I was not expecting that, because we all know points are important and. Like, Fale is good for at least 10 points each tournament, so.
Yeah, I think he's gotten 11 in the, like, last three or so.
So, it's like, I guess the story they was telling that's great and all, but we're here to send a message right now. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of fun to see them go back to their own roots and being really dirty rule breakers. And it's funny how their former leader kind of showed some of the same thing this past week on Raw.
They basically jumped Hangman Page out of the honorary Tongans is what they did.
was Hangman ever honorary Tongan? I thought that was just Chase.
That was just Chase? Okay, alright.
Chase gimmick.
Okay.
My man Hangman had the bolo tie on at the press conference.
Yeah, looking like a new and improved Boss Hog.
Hey man, the fans were feeling Hangman, if you listen to the crowd,
he's getting old. Yeah, he's been really on a good run and a good roll the past 3 months or so, man. They've really done a good job of putting wins behind them and having, you know, those tag matches, getting the pins and things like that. So, you know, nice way to make him a real player in this.
He is so over that Chono's and Liger's Pick'ems. Chono picked Hangman to win the fucking G1. That's Mr. G1 picked you to win the G1. That's big props right there. That's somehow, that's the old heads recognize you getting better, bro.
Yeah, for sure. We had Michael Elgin versus Evil. The superplex connects and Elgin covers but gets a two count. Elgin hits the buckle bomb and the burning hammer is countered. Elgin hits Splash Mountain. And he hits the Elgin Bomb, and he gets the win over Evil.
I was shocked at the victory, but this G1, and Elgin is a former NEVER champion, former Intercontinental champion, so he does have some credibility in New Japan. I was like, no way Evil loses this match. match. And that's the beauty of G1. You just can't automatically think somebody's going to win or lose based on their standing. Because everybody loses at some point during this tournament. But Evil and Elgin have really good chemistry, so this is another example of that.
Right. Our main event for night one of semi-main event, excuse me, was Hiroshi Tanahashi versus Minoru Suzuki. Tanahashi hits a dragon screw and Suzuki is down, screaming in pain because his knee got wrenched. Tanahashi fires up and hits the sling blade for a two count. Tanahashi heads up top and he hits the high fly flow. Then Tanahashi heads back up top and hits another high fly flow, and that finally puts Suzuki away, and Tanahashi gets a hard fought victory over Minoru Suzuki.
Let's just keep it real. Suzuki kicked his and he just pulled that horseshoe out of his butt and pulled the victory out. I was like, how the hell did he win this match?
Right. That dragon screw leg whip was just desperation.
That dragon screw turned around the game. I literally was like, yo, I've watched this movie for many years. I've never heard him scream like that. So I was like, is he really hurt? And then, yeah, that match was just, I was like, yo, this match was, I did not see any of this coming, but that was a really good match.
Yeah,
good
semi. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Good semifinal, semi-main event, excuse me. Next up, we get Kazuchika Okada versus Jay White. The Rainmaker connects, but Jay White hit the ref as Okada swung him around. White low blows Okada and then gives Okada a chair shot. Jay White hits the Blade Runner, and Jay White gets the upset victory over his Chaos stablemate.
Man, a lot of people picked Jay to win this match. They just didn't predict how he was going to win the match. We've seen Chaos members wrestle each other in G1 before, but we've never seen Chaos members do what they did to each other in this match. Primarily, Jay just breaking all, just he just went totally rogue and did all type of just heinous, dirty crap to win the match. And it's just like, he said he was going to do this type of stuff. And he kept it 100, so can't get mad at him for like doing that. And the interaction post match, we was messing with Rocky, and Rocky don't even know what to say because he's like, "Come on, man, we brothers, we don't supposed to be doing this to each other. We do this to other people." And man, that I'm loving the new version of Okada. He feels so free without the championship. Yes, he's not getting the results, but those will come eventually. But man, Jay White out here just killing it.
I've heard it referenced as broken Okada here lately. He's got like red, pink, purple hair going on. He's coming to the ring in kind of like a trance state, it looks like. He's got balloons he's throwing out to the crowd. Yeah, it's a whole different Okada.
Yep, remix music. Yeah.
And, oh man, it was so awkward watching him not wear that belt coming out here for this match.
Man, he had it so long, so.
Yeah, it's like he looks different. Something's missing. Oh yeah, he don't have the belt. That's what it is. So
it's like looking at Okada now is like looking at a person that was in a long term relationship and was so tied and connected to something, but then it got stripped away, and they're trying to find themselves.
Right.
And sometimes find themselves differently. Some people become even more happy and freeing without that burden or that situation dragging them down. So that's, you can look at it that way too, because he seems more freer. He's having more fun. So
yeah, I agree with you on that. Just a reminder that this is Cast a Strong Style. I'm your host, Don DeLaRente. I'm joined by my co-host, Anwar Starwin. You can find us on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher Radio, and Google Play. All you have to do is subscribe and download Cast a Strong Style. So we get night two, and this is going to be the B block. So we have Ishii versus Yanu, tag team partners going against each other. Ishii hits the lariat, and then the sliding D, and that gets a two count. Yano grabs the ref and gets a near fall off of a cradle. Ishii blocks the low blow. Then Ishii hits a low blow of his own, and he cradles Yano, and he gets the win. I think what everybody who watched this match will have their mind blown is that Yano actually, for the most part, wrestled a straight up match.
It's been a long time since I've seen Yano like wrestle a straight up match. I remember when he was in the tag team with Makabe and they would just beat people the hell up. So it's been a while. So to see him just straight up wrestle without no mischief, that was really cool to see. And the fact that his tag team partner that he wrestles with the most used his own tricks against him just made me love that finish even more.
Exactly.
So, and then I like how like Chaos, old and new, is becoming a faction where they are not against punching a dude in the balls to get a pizza. I was like, you can blame Yano for all that crap. Because it all started with him.
Right. The two biggest newsmakers from the G1 special, they squared off next as we had Juice Robinson versus Tama Tonga. Juice looks for Pope Friction, but Tongaloa distracts him, and Juice attacks Tongaloa. Juice works over Loa with jabs and the big left hand. Then Tonga hits the gun stun, and Tama Tonga got the win.
Tama Tonga needed that victory after the G1 special. He needs a lot of people to get behind him in the office to make this work long term. So, and plus, Juice is already hurt and he's recovering from a hard sport title match versus Jay White and coming from another country. So, this doesn't hurt Juice as a champion. So, and this ultimately opens up opportunity for Tama Tonga to challenge Juice at another time, point in time if he should sure choose to. Because I believe there's rattling that another New Japan show is going to be happening in the fall in California. So that's a possibility.
Right.
It's a title match.
We have Goto versus Sonata. You get a headbutt got by Goto, and then the GTR follows. But the second GTR is countered into a cradle for a near fall. Sonata cuts off Goto and moonsaults into the skull end. But Goto counters out into a draping GTR. The proper GTR connects, and Goto gets the win. Super athletic is the first thought that comes to my mind. Sorry.
No, you go ahead. I'll follow you.
Okay, super athletic by Sonata. The different variations of how he was putting Goto in the skull end was fantastic. Just a guy who's just waiting for his time to be the super duper star in New Japan. Hopefully it comes in the next couple of years, but I just think sky is the limit for Sonata. I'm so high on him.
I've been hoping for Sonata to break out since the last tournament. He had a good tournament, but Evil broke out more than him and created more separation in the singles realm as them. So this past year with the title defense versus Okada and his work and with Evil in the tag team has been really good for Sonata. This match, I thought it would be good. I did not expect it to be as good as it was. And people could say what they want about Goto, but when Goto steps up, he really steps up. And it was a great match, and I was surprised at the result. I thought Sonata would win, and maybe that would be another championship match in the future for those two. But I'm fine with Goto winning, and it helps build him up going into the match against Kenny. So, I'm also, like, one thing I noticed in that match, it seems like, this is the thing, if you watch Sonata, every once in a while against a certain wrestler, he teases at that, doing the Destinel as a counter. He's done it, he did it again in that match to me. And he just missed hitting Goto with it. So, I feel like he's been teasing that move for a while. I really believe at some point, the time that he probably will connect it using it is probably going to be against Naito. So I don't know if it will be happening this tournament or some point in the future. In the year or so, I just feel he's going to hit him with Destino. Hit him with Destino for sure. All right. So that was an awesome semi-main event.
One of the matches that I was looking forward to once the early matches were announced, once they announced all the matches and the matchups, Kota Ibushi versus Zack Sabre Jr. Zack Sabre Jr. counters the head kick into an octopus hole, and he ties up both arms. Ibushi counters, but loses him as they fall back into the ropes. Zack Sabre Jr. Gets back into the Cobra twist, but Ibushi hits a snapdragon suplex and a head kick. Ibushi drops the knee pad, but Sabre counters the Kamigoye into a European clutch for two. They work into counters as Ibushi hits a straightjacket suplex and Kamigoye for the win.
One of the things I find fascinating about Zack and Kota's matches, they work so many different styles within it, but the fact that Kota has been able to beat Zack, wrestling his primary, his style, in 2 out of 3 matches is amazing. And it just shows, like, the versatility of both wrestlers, but the fact that Kota could beat Zack in his own game is just amazing, because Zack is just great.
Yeah, I
got no complaints about this match. It was a nice variation from everything else that was on the card. And that's the beauty of New Japan. You get different type of matches.
That's why I love watching Zack Sabre Jr. Because every match he has with anybody is a different match than you're going to see on the card. Just because his style alone makes other people have to kind of think differently. Because, I mean, if you throw your arm out there lazy, he's going to grab it and put you in some type of hold. If you throw a kick up there lazy, he's going to counter it and put you into an ankle lock or a knee bar or something like that. So you really have to be economical with your movements when you face him. And I think it just makes for really great matches. That Catch as Catch Can style is just fantastic.
Yep.
Like, to me, I really wish modern wrestling would have went more that way and more of the UFC kind of submission, grappling, mat wrestling steel instead of the more hot spots, top rope, big bumps, through table, crash and burn type stuff.
I'm over for a lot of different things, but yeah, it just feels like things escalate further and further, and it gets scary watching sometimes.
Right. Because, I mean, you know, how high can you fall off of something? You know what I mean? What's the next thing you can jump off of? Or, you know, how many tables can you realistically, you know, keep going through, you know? Whereas Zack Sabre Jr. has a match with none of that stuff. And, you know, it's one of the most entertaining things you can watch time in and time out.
He had that one scary bump with Kota during the match.
Where they kind of lost their balance a little bit. Yeah.
It was scary.
Yeah.
Accidents can happen still, regardless.
Right. So our main event for night 2, the two guys who have put on the 2 best matches the last 2 years of the G1 tournaments, Kenny Omega versus Naito. The Oka Gym definitely was pro Naito. Kenny had his followers too, but not as many as Naito. So Naito hits a Destino, but Omega somehow kicks out at the very last minute. Naito pulls him up, Destino is countered, and Naito hits a Uranagi, but Omega counters the Destino. We get a rolling kick by Naito, Destino is countered again into a 6 set out tombstone by Omega. Omega then hit the double underhook pile driver, but Naito is able to kick out. Omega hits the V-trigger, and then he hits the one-winged angel, and he defeats Tatsuyo Naito. Balls to the wall, pace, and, you know, it's right there with, it's not as good as the final that had that, you know, that long time limit a couple of years ago, but it's still right up there with their other G1 matches that they've had. These two guys have great chemistry. I don't really think they like each other in a professional sense. So that always maybe adds a little bit more when they get together, as they're always trying to, you know, show the office who's really the man. And, man, it makes for great matches and entertainment for us.
Oh, yeah. They bring the best out of each other. And it's that battle between we both want the company to do well, but we want to be at the top pushing things forward. So it's just, they deliver classics when they wrestle each other, and that's just all I can say. They deliver classics. They do not disappoint every time they wrestle in single matches. And someone else said this, but it's something I left the match thinking. It's like, These guys are like Hiromu and Dragon Lee in the heavyweight division.
Right.
They have such great levels of matches, but they do a lot of shit that scares you.
Right.
And you're like, I get why New Japan don't do this match too much. Because it's like, these dudes will kill each other. So, that's like, hey, man, you give me Omega Knights once every year, I'm good, bro.
Right. That sit-out tombstone was disgusting. Oh, my gosh.
Man, like, they were countering on top rope, and then Naito hit him with the avalanche powerbomb and hit him with the death snow. That combo, I was like, that's it, buddy. Mm-hmm. And then he kicked out. And I also thought it was really cool that Naito broke up Uranagi, because that Uranagi was a counter that Omega used primarily used on Okada in certain situations. So I was like, that's pretty cool right there.
Mm-hmm. And then they had the callback to the match last year where he busted Naito open when he actually hard-weighed him on the ring post.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they had that callback to that. So yeah, just high-level wrestling match between Omega and Naito. So definitely, if you have New Japan World and you haven't checked that out, definitely check out the semi main event and the main event for all, you know, three nights so far of the G1. They've really been good.
Yeah, very much delivered.
This episode of Cast a Strong Style is being brought to you by Amazon.com. Please do your shopping through CSPN.us and Amazon.com to help keep Cast a Strong Style free each and every week. All you have to do is go to our website, CSPN.us, click on the menu tab, click on the tab that says help keep the podcast free, and then the very first tab will be Amazon. Do your purchasing like you normally would, and some of your purchase comes back to us to help keep Cast a Strong Style free each and every week for you. So please, CSPN and Amazon.com, do it today. We're going to talk about night three, which was A-block matches, as we had Michael Elgin versus Hangman Page. Michael Elgin counters the Buckshot Lariat. Elgin hits a Lariat and hits Splash Mountain for a great nearfall. Elgin hits the Buckle Bomb, followed by a Tiger Bomb, and the Elgin Bomb finally finishes off Hangman Page. Michael Elgin may be a despicable human being, but goddamn, he has awesome matches in New Japan. This was another one.
It was another awesome match, and it was a good match to help, like, spotlight Hangman in the company in Japan. So it delivered on multiple fronts. So I agree fully about the problematic hoss, Michael Elgin.
Yoshihashi and his wig faced off with Evil. Evil counters Karma and hits a half and half suplex. The Lariat follows for two. Evil connects with Everything is Evil, and Evil is victorious.
Yeah. I mean, Yoshihashi did a good, admirable performance, but my boy Evil got his victory, so right. All's good in the world.
Right. Next up, we had a Hoss Fight Alert, as we had Toga Makabe versus Minoru Suzuki. Makabe takes Suzuki up top, and he hits the spider suplex. Suzuki gets to his feet, but Makabe hits a flying knee. Makabe then goes back up top, and he hits the King Kong knee drop. And Makabe is victorious over Minoru Suzuki.
That match surprised me. I did not expect Makabe to pull that victory out. And the fire that he showed in that match, oh my God, that was great brawling. Yeah. Like, if you're a fan of that type of wrestling, you really need to check that match out.
That was like a Stan Hansen Japan match where they spent like 75% of it outside the ring. I think Marty Asami got beat up more in the beginning than Makabe did from a Suzuki, because goodness, he got tossed around.
Yeah.
So yeah, good stuff, good brawling action, kind of change up, you know, all these technical wizardry wrestling matches that we've had so far in the G1, just to get a good old-fashioned brawl going on.
That's true. Like, I've been watching with the English commentary, so I do need to go back and watch some of these in Japanese to just get a different feel of these matches.
Right.
That match right there in particular would probably be really fun to listen to in Japanese.
Mm-hmm. Okada faced off against Bad Luck Fale. Okada drop kicks Fale into the ref. Then Tama Tonga arrives and hits the gun stunt on Okada. Fale hits the Bad Luck Fall, and Bad Luck Fale picks up the win over Okada.
Oh, man. I thought Little Kazu was going to pull it out, but then old school Bullet Club tricks worked again. So, I mean, it's Fale got his points, and we continue the trying to find himself Okada storyline.
Right.
It seems like he's flipped position with Tanahashi, where Tanahashi started slow for the last couple of years and then caught fire. I wonder if they're going to do that with Okada this year, or he's just going to continuously just be like show strength but not get wins. That'll be interesting.
Yeah, definitely, for sure. I really enjoyed this match. I don't know what it is about Okada, but man, Fale comes to wrestle when he wrestles Okada, and they put on some really good matches. Even without the interference and everything, it was a really good match.
Mm-hmm.
So, they're really interesting.
And he's looking like he's stepping up even more without less of that weight on himself.
Right, right. Our main event was Tanahashi versus the Switchblade, Jay White. Now, for the record, I did watch this one with the Japanese commentary. Good stuff. Tanahashi heads up top and hits the high fly crossbody. Jay White rolls through, but Tanahashi hits a straightjacket German suplex for a two count. Jay White then shoved the ref into the ropes as Tanahashi was up top again, and Tanahashi gets crushed. Jay White then gets a chair. He levels Tanahashi. He follows up with the Blade Runner. And Jay White, in consecutive G1 appearances, has beaten Okada and now Hiroshi Tanahashi.
And then you add in his victory over Omega at the beginning of the year. He's beaten three of the big four in New Japan. And at some point, he's going to get to Naito. And if you're thinking people outside of that big four, who's knocking on getting that spot, that'll be Ibushi. So he has a couple more people to go after. But the fact he knocked off the three biggest stars in the company, that shows you how they feel about Jay White, buddy. Yeah, I mean, Jay got his victory, talked his crap after the match, got under Rocky skin some more, and then let off his little catchphrase. Just everybody just breathe. Oh, Jay White is a great antagonist. Heel, it ain't no shades of gray with him. Either you hate him or you love him. And if you love him, I think you're kind of a psychopath, but I'm not judging you.
I can actually get with this new Jay White. I like it.
I bet Jay White is just like, at the beginning of the year, it looks like Tommaso Ciampa was just running away with being the best heel. And now Jay White is just like, oh, hold up, player. I got some fire for you, too.
Yeah, man. Yeah, he's really turned up the gear. It looked like kind of at first he was trying to find his footing with mm-hmm. it. But here in the last like 2 months, the stuff with Juice really got him into a comfort zone. And, man, now he's just off and running.
I think that the point where things really turned for him, like, was the little series with Finley and him beating Finley, then cutting that promo after that match.
Right.
From that point forward to now, he's been on fire.
Right, right. So those were the first three nights of the G1. We're having a little break, so they'll be resuming coming up on Thursday, and we'll get another 3 or 4 days worth of events. And we'll try to come back every 3 or 4 shows with another episode so we don't have too much to talk about all at once. So you guys can kind of keep abreast with what's going on all the way through the end of the tournament. So a lot of matches yet to come, a lot of twists and turns. There's going to be injuries and guys are going to get banged up and be taped up. But the level of the matches don't seem to suffer from that. The guys seem to work harder and give us better quality matches once they get banged up later on in the tournament. So I'm looking forward to this one. Jay White's off to a fast start. We've also got Makabe off to a fast start. So we'll see who kind of, you know, trails off and who picks up as, you know, these days wind down in the G1. But if you don't have New Japan World, please get New Japan World. If you've been thinking about on the fence, this is the best time to subscribe to it, because you'll get a chance to get introduced to all the major players. And the underneath tag team matches are really fun, too. And you'll get to see some of the, you know, lighter weight guys and the underneath guys put on some really good matches with some of these top guys that are going to be in G1 as well. So definitely spend the $9 a month and get New Japan World. It's definitely worth it. So at this point, Anwar, I'll open it up to you for any final thoughts about the first three nights of the G1 and shout outs and thank yous.
It's always a joy when G1 comes because you know you're going to get some of the best matches of the year. And thus far, just like that night two was amazing as far as like not even just the tournament matches, but actually the multi-man matches had a lot of funk to it too. So yeah, this is always a great time of the year. So just try to enjoy it. Pace yourself. You don't necessarily have to like watch every show on the same day as it comes out. Take your time with it. Make time for it when you can. And come back and just interact with us and share your opinions.
Right. It's appreciated. You can do that on Twitter by using the hashtag #CastOfStrongStyle. You can also follow our Twitter show account at @CastStrongStyle. So please, like I said earlier, if you use that hashtag #CastOfStrongStyle, I'll get to see all your tweets and we'll interact and we can, you know, definitely go back and forth about what you think about New Japan, especially for people who are new to the product, who may be kind of getting, like I said, disenchanted with WWE and just looking for something different, a palate cleanser. This is definitely the best palate cleanser you can get.
Yep.
So, Anwar, your shout-outs and thank yous for this episode, sir?
Shout-out to everyone who rocking me, and shout-out to the people who don't. I appreciate you regardless of saying. No hate.
All right. I'm going to give a shout-out to JPK Moto. Hope she's doing well. Can't wait till she comes back from her excursion so we can all three of us get together and talk about this great product. And hopefully it'll be near the end of the G1 final so we can maybe have one big grand show and talk about the finals. I'll give a shout-out to you, Anwar, for being able to join me once again. Talk about New Japan. It's really fun. I really love doing this show. I give a shout out to everybody out there who listens, everybody who follows the Cast of Strong Style Twitter account, everybody who follows the WrestleCast Twitter account, everybody who follows me. Thank you guys for, you know, interacting and listening and supporting. We couldn't do it without you. So continue to support us the way that you do. And we'll continue to keep putting out the great content that we do. So on that note, for my co-host, Anwar Starwin, I'm Don De Laurentiis. And this has been Cast of Strong Style.
Cast of Strong Style.